My guests are a pair of architects, Ellen Bilston and Tom Ochsner, not in business together, different architects. And the last segment we talked about the AIA tour, AIASB.com. You can find out about the architecture tour October 1st, 2022. There's a little early bird special. So if you want to check it out now, maybe pick up a ticket. And so we're going to come back and talk a little bit about downtown residential building, the dining, street dining. And we got a little bit of a curveball when I was told that Tom Ochsner, one of the architects here, deals a lot with stormwater. And the so he's going to discuss that in a little bit about the impact on outdoor dining. I'll tell you about 20, 30 years ago when my brother, who's a civil engineer, first came out here, and he was noticing all the dips in the road as you're going, let's say, east, west to east, crossing State Street, and there's just all these dips. And he said, well, God, why don't they have it underground? I said, well, geez, it seems like every intersection has a dip in Santa Barbara. The whole town is an above-ground storm drain. Is that a little bit of an exaggeration, or how close am I?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting topic. Santa Barbara is very unique in terms of stormwater because what people don't realize is that most of the city is built out. So it's, you know, we don't have these large areas that we can use to incorporate stormwater into future design. And I think when the city of Santa Barbara adopted the state's stormwater regulations, they saw that. And that's the impetus for why they designed their own stormwater program. And it is at a much heightened level than the state regulations for us here in Santa Barbara. There has been a lot of difficulties over the years with architects trying to take that new program and incorporate it into their projects and finding out that the cost of the stormwater features are disproportionate to the actual value of the project. We're used to having a lot of regulations and a lot of agencies give us things to do to make the project better, more green, more environmental, safer. But sometimes when they introduce items that are disproportionate, it gets difficult. And that recently I worked with the AIA and we made some significant changes or asked for some changes from the city. And the city was good in working with us. We rearranged it to help some of the smaller projects out more. But it really put, it's really yet to see, but it's putting a lot of pressure on the larger projects, such as what we might be discussing in the future relative to the State Street spaces and the outdoor dining and so forth. So, you know, what the problem with these big projects, especially in the downtown corridor, is that they're going to be saddled with really what amounts to underground retention and treatment of stormwater. Our city at this point has not really put much pressure on its own infrastructure to deal with the treatment of the stormwater. It's been applied to the private sector. And that's where really I think the architects in town realize that there's a win-win if we can get a design for the State Street corridor to include landscaping and outdoor dining and include pervious areas and solutions to handle the stormwater in the right of way. And not to the expense of trying to incorporate that into redoing some of these buildings, such as what we're talking about with the old Macy's building and so forth. Because, you know, the triggers that we've adopted are pretty difficult. If you reshape the roof, it's considered completely impacted and you're in a tier 3 or 4. And so you're going to see a huge financial burden on the creativity of what is available to us as we try to bring more housing or more exterior spaces to the downtown area.
A couple of things that come to mind in what Tom is saying is, well, number one, it used to be that every property was draining its stormwater into the municipal system down the middle of the street. That was what everyone did, and that was considered proper. Proper result from projects. Now, as Tom was saying, you know, in the last number of years, we're needing to deal with our stormwater on the individual property. So it's a fundamental shift from a municipal approach to stormwater management onto individual property owners.
But if I understood Tom correctly, excuse me, Ellen, he said that the city, they're making all these regulations for individuals, but they're not figuring out a way to do something with the storm drains and on their end?
And that leads me to the other observation I wanted to make based on what Tom was saying. You know, as we rethink State Street and how we use State Street, I think there's a real opportunity to rethink the way it's paved and to allow for much more permeable opportunities and, you know, not have it be sidewalk on one side, sidewalk on the other, and asphalt down the middle. But instead, maybe the whole thing can be leveled out. We rethink what the roadway could be and turn that into a permeable surface that the rain could soak into and basically handle the infrastructure that way. So we're not using pipes necessarily. Anyway, there I know there are all sorts of civil engineering aspects to that, but I think it can be part and parcel of us rethinking what State Street even is and incorporating this consideration into the mix of that and really come out with something beautiful and functional and solving this really fundamental problem at the same time.
My guests are a pair of architects, Ellen Bilstein, you just listened to, and Tom Ochsner. Yeah, the retention, I mean, so in simplistic form, the only thing I kind of knew about it was when you build a new house or maybe do some major remodeling, they want all the gutters, instead of just going down into the street and into the storm drain, they want you to deposit it on your property in some kind of, you know, pit with gravel. I mean, I did that when I remodeled my front of my house with a hedge and a brick patio, and Adam Simmons, who's a geologist and hydrogeologist, recommended that I dig a long trench and backfill it with gravel and have my downspouts go into it, and it'll help water my hedge.
And that's great on a single family residential zoned parcel where you have a lot of green areas, your front yard, your backyard, your side yards, since you can't build out. But where this really gets interesting is when you're downtown and you're in the CG zone, which has zero lot line setback requirements. You know, how are you building viably and having some ground to soak into on the property when some of these properties are like 20 by 100, or I mean, they're super constrained lots generally. So it's a whole different ball game downtown relative to the surrounding areas where things aren't as dense.
Remember the old fashioned driveways in the old homes that had basically two concrete rails for your tires, and then the center was grass. So you got to just do that downtown, right? Just kind of have the center, have a bunch of, it doesn't have to be grass. You don't want grass, but you want some kind of, I think Tom mentioned that, some kind of permeable surface. Mm-hmm. The other option would be to dig canals, and we could be like Venice. We just retain all the storm drains and during the winter.
My vote.
So, well, we kind of up against the clock. We didn't really talk about the future of downtown State Street, but I said earlier, if you asked 100 architects, would 99 say they love the idea? But yet I've had a couple of people come to Santa Barbara and they go, God, it just looks, well, as you mentioned earlier, Tom, the design, they didn't really do any design. They just let people do what they want to do. What are the odds of them ever reopening State Street?
That's a great question. And, you know, I what we're doing right now is we're kicking the can. We're extending these temporary policies until something happens. And the real problem is there's some really hard and fast codes that there's no real achievable way of getting past them at this point. Stormwater is one of them, serving alcohol in different locations, and accessibility for emergency vehicles,
right.
Accessibility
right.
For people in wheelchairs. And Santa Barbara isn't the most relaxed of the communities when it comes to interpreting a regulation.
So, really? I didn't know that. I never saw that to be the case. I thought Santa Barbara...
You're not going to find anyone willing to relax anything, whereas other jurisdictions sometimes can do that.
I agree. I'm so sorry that we're out of time. And I agree with what you're saying. And I know you mentioned the access. They foolish. It's just hard to believe. They didn't say, okay, do what you want, but make sure you leave whatever the amount of feet we need in the center of the street. So it was, but it was tough times, and I'm glad they did what they did to keep the restaurants viable, but it is, need to do something. And it's kind of tough with a restaurant that's half a block away and his street is open and he doesn't get that advantage. So it kind of changed the value of a lot of real estate. But thank you so much, Tom Ochsner, Ellen Bilston, a pair of architects here, members of the AIA, local chapter, the American Institute of Architects, and go online, AIASB.com, and get a ticket, October 1st, 2022. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, the rest of you stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.